Hey, you guys, here we are. Tom's got his black sexual Tyrannosaur hat on today.
Yeah, he's maximizing my fucking toxic masculinity. So, we saw I Am Legend, and I totally misremembered this movie from a long time
ago. You were thinking of the whole fucking different movie. But, well, maybe.
I think I saw part of it, but I had a lot wrong. But you know, I think I confused parts of it with another movie because I saw it a long time ago. It was a lot better than I remembered. I still like a Mega Man better. We're going to get into it. But it was a lot better than I remembered.
It was a bit better than I remembered. I mean, I probably hadn't seen it since 2008, 2009. I didn't see it in the theater, but like somebody loaned it to me. Like when it came out, you know, I used to work with a guy who loaned me movies all the time.
Yeah.
And I think I probably saw it then. So I saw it a couple years after it came out. And I remember it being like, I was probably like, ah, that's pretty good. I was like, I don't like the ending, though, because it wasn't really like the book. But I kind of remembered it was okay. But it was actually, like, better than I remembered.
Yeah, for some reason, I thought that only New York was affected and that they sent him in there to go stop the outbreak.
Yeah, see, that sounds like a different movie.
Yeah. No, it was the same premise. He was kind of like the last man on Earth. He finds some other people, but it was worldwide, the pandemic. He was on his own in there. So that particular element of the story was left intact. The only thing I didn't like about the movie is that the mutants didn't talk. So that really dumbed the story down a lot, you know. A lot of the fucking nuances that were in Omega Man or even... Last Man on Earth kind of vanish when the mutants don't have a culture or a language, so there's no relationship, you know, there's no characters there. Although they did do some stuff, they were interacting with him, you know, like mimicking his traps and shit. So evidently they did understand him to a certain extent, but they were just kind of animalistic, kind of like rage zombies, did a lot of screaming. They're CGI, and it doesn't hold up. They look terrible.
Yeah, the CGI is really balls in this. It's not good.
And there was absolutely no need for CGI. They could have been, with the characters, the design that they were doing with the zombies, they could have just been people.
Well, see, I think they did. I mean, at least from what I read on Wikipedia, I think they did do it with actors first, with makeup and stuff, and they didn't like the way it looked. So then they figured, oh, well, we'll just use the actors and then we'll do motion capture and then we'll do it all in CGI. But the CGI, people still talk about how shit it is.
Yeah.
And if it had been people, I think it at least would have... I mean, because it's not like these things had to be monsters. They were just mutated people.
Yeah. I mean, they pulled that shit off in the Omega Man great just with a pair of fucking contact lenses. And some white fucking...
Yeah, they didn't have to look like...
They don't have to look that different.
They didn't they didn't have to look like exotic creatures or anything.
Well, look at what The Walking Dead was doing with fucking real life.
That's what I'm saying.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, we've always said this. I mean, practical effects are always going to... If they're done well, they're never going to age. They're never going to date.
Yeah.
So it's always better to use that. CGI is always going to, like, be dated.
I think had it been actual... actress doing the fucking mutants, this movie could have stood with the other two and aged well right along with them, you know what I mean, and been more of a cult classic. But this one I think is just going to be kind of forgotten just because it aged out so quickly with those effects. And it's sad because fucking Will Smith does a good job in it.
Great in this. Had forgotten like what a good actor, because you have to think for about two-thirds of this movie there's no other people for him to act against.
Yeah.
It's just basically him and the dog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he does a fantastic job.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really, really good in this. Yeah. I think this is, like, easily one of his best roles.
I'd have paid to see him slap Chris Tucker, though.
Yeah.
Funny.
I thought that whole thing was boring. Because that's 3 weeks ago or whatever. But, so, well, did you watch the alternate ending?
I don't know what ending we saw.
We saw the theatrical ending.
Okay.
Because we watched it on Amazon Prime.
So I didn't see the alternate
and
ending.
I told you, I was like, well, go on YouTube because somebody's posted the alternate ending. And indeed they have because it's on the thing. So the thing you were saying before about the mutants not being like characters in this, that's sort of addressed a little bit in the alternate ending. It's not hugely different, but it kind of like changes the whole tone. Closer to the book, but still not exactly the same. So, obviously, in the theatrical ending, much like I Am Legend, or Omega Man, rather, you know, Will Smith sacrifices himself. Like, he gives his the blood, like, the vaccine or whatever, to the people, like, the survivors. And he's like, get out of here. I'm going to, like, blow all these monsters up.
He stuffed them into a closet kind of thing.
Even though he could have fit in there, too. It's like, I don't know why. Because I was watching a video earlier and said, why didn't he just throw the grenade at them and then all three of them leave? Instead of just being, and I was like,
I didn't think the final ending scene was worthy.
But, yeah, but the alternate ending.
Yeah.
What happened was, it was kind of the same thing. They're trapped in this glass room, like, all the monsters come in there, and one of them, like, bangs his head against the glass, and it makes a shape like a butterfly. Mm-hmm. And then he notices that, you remember the female monster that he was experimenting on? Has a butterfly tattoo on her neck. Uh-huh. And he realizes that this is the mate of that one, and it came to rescue her, like, bitch, you were experimenting on my girlfriend.
Okay.
And so he realizes, oh my god, like, they are the same as us, like, they have the same emotions as us. And, you know, then he says, okay, we'll take her back, and he, and the monster gets, like, all, like, emotional about it, like, oh my god, I got my wife back, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he realizes, holy shit, I've been killing all of these people, like, to experiment on them. So, just like in the original book, he realizes, oh my god, I'm a monster to them, because I've been killing them and experimenting on them when they have feelings just like we do. But he does live. You know what I mean? He doesn't die like he does in the book.
Yeah, that's...
So it's closer.
Yeah, that's still not a very good ending.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's better than the theatrical ending.
Right.
It's better than the theatrical ending.
They should have been talking the whole way. That would have made a lot more sense. And they should have, you know, they should have been more like something out of the Omega Man and Last Man on Earth. They should have been basically rational, but fucking crazy, you know. They get, or no, well, how can you be rational and crazy? You know what I'm talking about. They weren't totally rational. You couldn't really reason with them, but they were, you know, they could speak. They kind of had their own culture.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though. I mean, and I think we talked about this yesterday when we were talking about the Omega Man. It seems like nobody... Now, interestingly, this movie, just like every other... It feels like a lot of big movies like this. Warner Brothers had done Omega Man, right? Because they had the rights to Richard Matheson's novel, like, going back to 1970. So it was their idea to do another update of it. And they started working on it back in the mid-90s. And one of the earliest iterations, like, they were going to get Tom Cruise to be in it. Like, I think Mel Gibson was going to be in it. Arnold Schwarzenegger was going to be in it at one point. But I think Ridley Scott was supposed to direct it when they were doing it. I was like 95, 97, somewhere around there. And Ridley Scott was going to do it. And they had done, from what I haven't read the script that they did, but from what I read of the idea that they had, that Ridley Scott had, they were going to do it more like the book. It was going to be a lot more, like, downbeat. You know what I mean? Whereas, just like the book is. Because the book is kind of like, I don't want to say it's, like, nihilistic. It's not exactly nihilistic, but it's, they still haven't done, as I said yesterday, they still haven't done a movie interpretation of it that gets close to the theme of the book, really. They always kind of, like, go off on their own kind of tangent. This one has a similar, it's not as messianic, I guess, as Omega Man with all the Jesus-y symbolism. This one has a little bit of that, but not as much. But it's still kind of still like a hero type journey. Whereas the whole point of the book, as I brought up before, is that the person you're thinking is the hero the whole time is actually kind of the villain. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like no movie has really got that. And maybe they thought everyone would get bummed out about it, but I don't know. I mean, this movie, it made a fuck ton of money. It made, like, almost $600 million, right? So, but the thing about it is that a lot of people that maybe liked it at the time, a lot of people just kind of, like, forgot about it. It was like, ah, that was okay. It's, like, it's not really remembered all that much. And I think the only reason people think about it or remember it is, like, oh, kind of, we didn't like the ending. Like, other than the alternate ending.
Yeah.
I mean, there's good things about it. Like I said, I hadn't seen it for, you know, a long time, like at least like 15 years or so. And Will Smith is great in it. The first part where he's like on his own, that's fantastic. I'm into it. You know, I liked some of the changes that they made. Again, like, much like Omega Man, it was, the virus was, germ warfare, right?
Yeah.
In this one, it was almost kind of like a cancer
cure
that mutated and caused this big thing. So it's almost like we're a victim of our good intentions type shit.
Yeah.
Which, that's more in line with, like, the times, I guess, of whatever. So I kind of liked that. I liked the interaction with him and the dog and him having like a relationship with the dog. Like in the book, it was just like a random stray that he kind of kept for a little bit until it died. But I didn't like that they killed the dog though. Like I get what they were going for. But come on.
Well, the dog died in the book in the first movie.
I know, but you hadn't been with this dog, and the character hadn't been with the dog, because in this version, it's established that he, like, when he put his family on the helicopter to get out of Manhattan, they handed him the puppy. Yeah. Like, here, take, you know, the dog will take care of you or whatever. So he's had this dog for 3 years, and it's the last thing that connects him to his dead family.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more, like, emotion. So, like, I know why they did it. It has, like, a much more big, bigger emotional impact. But I still get bummed out when they kill animals in movies, you know what I mean? Like I said, kill all the people you want. Leave the puppies and kitties alone. But, yeah, that was kind of a bummer. But, I don't know.
Well, it's just like, what's his, on Castaway, the dude had to lose Wilson. Never.
Yeah.
That was Wilson, basically.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. That was like his only living companion, and that's kind of what spurred him to be like, fuck it, I don't even want to live anymore. And that's what made him go out at night and start plowing down like mutants with his truck and like that.
One of the changes that they made, he's still like a colonel. You know, I guess he's in biowarfare. He decides to stay there when he didn't have to. Because he thinks he can get the situation under control, that he can stop the outbreak, and he also wants to cure the infected, and he's kind of fucking pathological about it. He doesn't want to leave. He's crazy, because the pandemic's over. Everybody's dead. It's just those, you know. And another change that they made is he's not as militant. As Heston's Neville was, like, you look at his inside his house, it just looks like a doctor's house.
Well, he's a virologist. Yeah. That's what he's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, he's military too, but
right.
He's a scientist. But
it's definitely not like an armed castle. It's because they're not really attacking him.
Well, now I'm gonna say that is one thing that I actually kind of liked about this change. I'm glad you reminded me of that. Because prior to, like, in the, like, Last Man on Earth and in Omega Man, it seemed like the mutants are showing up, like, every night.
Yeah,
like, trying to get into it. And you'd think after 3 years, they would have been able to, like, get in and kill him, right? I mean, it seems like, what the fuck is their problem? Now, but in this one, the mutants don't know where he lives. And so he's pretty much safe. He's got, like, all the things, like, over the windows and shit like that, so just in case. And he's got, show, like, toward the end, he actually has, like, booby traps, like, all outside. So just in case, he's prepared.
Yeah.
But they don't know where he lives until he does that stunt with the driving around at night because he gets mad because his dog dies. And then, you know, he meets What's-Her-Face from Predators. And it's not the same character. But What's-Her-Face from Predators and the kid.
Yeah.
And they take him back to the house and it's at night. And so the mutants follow them. And then they subsequently find out where he lives. And then they bust into the house and they would have killed them. You know what I mean? So I like that better because, you know, the other movie versions... You know, if you've been in this house for 3 years, I don't care how good your defense is. Big, like, gangs of people come and, like, try to bust in your house and kill you. They're going to get in over 3 years. You know what I'm saying? They're not that stupid.
Well, I don't know.
Or weak.
Yeah.
You'd think they would figure it out.
In Omega Man, they were sick, first of all. And they used to be civilians, most of them. And they were led by a TV reporter. All right. It looks like they only had one guy that really knew what was up. And that was Zach, Brother Zachary. And then, because of their religion, they couldn't use any modern weapons. So Neville had fortified himself with a bunch of modern weaponry. So they were mostly just came up and trolled him. Remember, and they'd burn the place next to him and fucking yell at
him. Yeah, I guess they were mostly just like...
They were just trolling
fucking
him.
With him.
Yeah, they were mostly trolling him. And they were scared of him, basically. When they came out with the catapult, Neville didn't even shoot them. He just shot up the catapult and they went running. Running and laughing. And then he was looking for him during the day. He was trying to kill him in their sleep, which they didn't make that real clear in Omega Man, which that's why I wanted... There were some changes I would have done. I would have showed him that he was actually looking to just wipe him out in their sleep. But they never showed him, not even once.
Because like I said, that's kind of what he was doing in the book. And they showed that in Last Man on Earth, too. Like, Vincent Price was going around staking some of them when they slept.
They were just
or when they just, like, woke up, like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Like, he was.
So they needed to have that in Omega Man to let the audience know that that's actually what he was doing. He's trying to get him while they were asleep, you know? That's what made him a legendary monster in their minds.
Yeah.
Because he'd come when you were at your weakest. And they would go to his house and fucking troll him and shoot flaming balls at him. But because of, you know, that he had those walls and everything, you know, big floodlights that they couldn't get close to the house. You remember?
Yeah.
They had the floodlights on. He had floodlights kept him out. And because of all that, he was kind of impregnable. They were jealous of him, you know, him living up there in his honky paradise. You know, they were fucking... And then he was a relic of the past. So it's plausible that he could keep that many of them out. And there really weren't that many of them. There were maybe, you know, I'd say there were only 30 of them.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
I'm just saying, yeah, I mean, I guess it would stand to reason in that version that it's like, well, they didn't really want to get in.
Yeah.
Because they could have.
They could have.
If they really wanted to.
If they'd used the technology, that's why Brother Zach says, let me go to the National Guard Armory. I'll get that damn howitzer and we'll blow him out of there with a cannon. And like, oh, no, we're not going to use any of the old ways. They're fucking crazy. You know? They were fucking crazy. They couldn't... He's a user of the wheel and all that kind of shit. Which I thought that was good, because they had to have a balance. There had to be a way to balance out the numerical superiority they had over him. They refused to use technology. So that
makes
it a lot more
plausible. But I mean, I did kind of like that change in this version. Now, I guess that the monsters were around, because there was a scene near the beginning where he was sleeping in the bathtub with his dog, and he could kind of hear, like, faraway shrieks and stuff. But I don't think they knew where he was.
Yeah.
But the thing about it was that they were established as these strong and kind of wily and intelligent creatures. So had they knew where he lived and they wanted to kill him, obviously they could have got in. And I like that they didn't come to the house until they found out where it was. And then the same night they found out where it was, or the next night or whatever, they pretty much like started tearing it and they got in like right away. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I kind of like that better, I guess.
I don't know, Jenny.
Well, it works better with the context of that story. Like I said, we're far removed from the book now.
The movie's called I Am Legend. For that to make sense based on the other three movies and the other two movies in the books, the fucking vampires or the mutants would have to be a legend to them. So they'd have to at least be able to speak and to talk about him. And he'd at least be a threat to them. And it was just the way they did it in Omega Man is right. That's the way it should have been done. He was in a damn, basically a fortress that they couldn't get into. And during the day, he was going out hunting them in their sleep. And that would have scared them. And it really shouldn't. And they shouldn't have been fucking real super physically powerful like these things. These things could just run up the side of a wall and bash open fucking bulletproof glass with their heads and stuff. It just didn't make any sense to me. It would make more sense if they were actually kind of frail, like they were in Omega Man. They were sick. They were dying. So that made more sense to me.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? And which would made Neville more of a monster to them, that he was basically physically and technologically superior to them. The only thing that they had in their advantage was the cover of darkness and numbers, you know, which I think that works out better. I mean, it's not a bad movie the way they did it here. It's just,
It's a different take on it.
It's drifted away a lot.
Well, you know? Like I said, none of the adaptations are the same as the book. The Vincent Price one is the closest. That's probably about 90-95% accurate. The ending is a little bit different, but not that much. The other two, like, deviate wildly. But And the thing about it, what they did, okay, so with the theatrical version of this movie, the 2007 one, they justified the title I Am Legend by saying that, oh, Will Smith became a legend because he sacrificed himself to get the vaccine to the humans.
Okay,
so they did justify it, like, when some voiceover shit at the end that the lady from Predator said.
Okay.
When they got to the encampment, like, in Vermont, where the other humans were.
So they flipped it.
They
flipped it.
Right.
I'm saying that fucking, I liked it the Heston way where Neville is monstrous. He's a monstrous, militant dude who's fucking going out like an exterminator, fucking exterminating them, fucking, and they're scared of him. They're, you know, he's a legend to them. A monster. He's the last of the monsters.
Yeah. Well, and that was kind of the point of the book too.
That's kind of the point.
He's
of the
a legend
book.
In a bad way.
In a bad
way. He was a legend, like right. vampires were to humans.
Exactly.
Like a scary monster.
Yeah. I wish the Will Smith movie would have preserved that line of thinking.
The alternate ending is a little bit like that. It's well, at least it's more like that than the theatrical ending is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least the alternate ending has him realizing, oh shit, I'm the monster because I've been killing all of these people, all of the mutated people and like experimenting on them. But he still gets to live. Like I think like there's a point where the mutant, like the alpha male is what they call him, like on the if you read a description, he thinks about killing him for experimenting on his wife or whatever, but then he's like, no, he lets him go. But Will Smith, like, then goes on to, like, live with the guilt that he actually killed all of these people that were intelligent and had the same, like, feelings as him and shit like that, so he felt really bad about it. So they did kind of, like, go in that direction, but he doesn't get killed. Like I said, in the book... Well, he doesn't exactly die in the book. They just leave it a little bit open, like, but he's going to die. You know what I mean? And then in the Vincent Price version, he does die. And then in Omega Man, he dies too. But he dies like Jesus-y, like he's like self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
But not for the
mutants. He does it for Lisa and the kids and Dutch. That's what he does in
the theatrical ending of this one too.
Okay.
Like he gives it to the people and it's like, hey, take this to the thing. Because in the book, there really aren't any people left, so there's no point to doing that.
It could have been
there's no vaccine or nothing.
There's also some religious messaging in here too.
And yeah.
I thought Will Smith was a Scientologist, and Scientologists don't actually tolerate Christianity that well. They claim to, but they don't. So I don't know who put the messaging in there. It might have been Scientology. I don't know if they had anything to do with this movie. And because of that in there, there's a chance that Will Smith stipulated that he did not want to be any kind of villain in the movie. So maybe they changed some stuff like that. Maybe he would have thought that the Charlton Heston angle and the fucking Vincent Price angle were a little too much toxic masculinity or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing. But like I said, the whole point of the story, and it's most clear in the Vincent Price version, is that you're supposed to relate to this character. Like, oh my, it's like the world is overrun with monsters and he's going around like destroying them like in self-defense. But then you find out at the end, no, these aren't monsters. They're just like the next stage of evolution or whatever. Yeah. And this is the last human left and he's going around wiping them out and they're all fucking terrified of him. Yeah. And that was kind of like the whole point of the book. And I don't really feel like there hasn't been a movie that's gotten that exactly right.
Right.
I do kind of feel like, I don't know if this is true or not, but when they were first working on making this movie, like back in the 90s, and I heard that Ridley Scott, when he was going to direct it, like he was going to make it, or at least look more like the book or more like bleak or more of a downer, which because the book is kind of a downer. Like I said, there's no cure in the book because there's no people left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no people left that aren't infected, and the ones that are infected, that's just how people are now, you know what I mean? So this guy is like the last one, he's like the old guard, and he's gone now.
In the Heston version of it, there's, Heston shows no mercy to the mutants, and the mutants don't really show any mercy to him. They're fucking kind of like eternal enemies. But he does die, and he does save the last of the uninfected kind of humans. So that's the difference.
You know what I mean?
Fucking, because Hester's like, no, I need to wipe them all out, or they're all dead anyway, fuck them. you know, that kind of shit. He never, there was no remorse per se. He hated them. Said they were vermin. And they hated him. There wasn't any kind of mutual understanding.
Was, yeah.
That's, I kind of like that angle.
To, yeah, and I mean, like I said, yeah. I'm not averse to, yeah. You know, doing different takes on the story. That's yeah. fine. It's just, to me, it seems like none of the movies have gotten the book right. They don't really seem to, they don't seem to understand or don't seem to want to convey, like, what the theme of the book is.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, Last Man on Earth is the closest, but all of them kind of have a little bit like it. But this yeah. one, it's just, this one seems like a zombie movie. They kind of like changed it up because I think 28 Days Later had come out the year before this or the same year. I can't remember.
It's basically Rage Zombies.
Yeah. So this was kind of, or actually maybe 28 Days Later came out yeah. a couple years before this. Maybe it was 2004. But yeah, so I kind of feel like this was, you know, jumping more off of that. I kind of like that they moved it to New York City. They initially did that, well, for a while, I mean, because the book is L.A., I think, and the original movies are, and Omega Man is L.A., yeah. but, they were gonna do, I think the Ridley Scott one, they were gonna do it in Houston, but I like that they did New York City with this, because they said, and they actually shot a lot of shit on location in this, which is crazy, because they don't usually do that a lot in New York, because, like I said, it's really crowded. And what they did was they shot on location and then they tried to block off certain streets, I'm imagining, like while they were doing it. But then they just went back and like if anybody walked through the shots or anything like that, they just digitally erased them. So, I mean, they actually shot like the whole helicopter thing. They shot that on the Brooklyn Bridge and all the locations that you see are real. It's just sometimes they had to like wipe some people out of the background so it looked like it was empty. Yeah. But they said that's easier to do. You know, and they said it would have more of an impact because New York City never looks empty, like at any time of the day or night. So New York looking empty would be like much more impactful.
Yeah, Kanavatsan said they were using the wheel on the catapult, though. Yeah, they also used the wheels on the vehicles that they fucking rolled out there in front of his Jeep.
Yeah, kind of hard to do shit without
yeah.
a wheel.
Yeah,
I mean. That's why cavemen invented that. Yeah, like,
that was just
kind of
something
ago.
Matthias threw out there, user of the wheel, stinking of electric oil and electric circuitry.
You're like, whatever, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, 789 Tundra said, Jenny's the wig master. She looks great in every wig. Thank you very yeah. much. This is my, I think this is my favorite one of all the colors that I have. Yeah. I like this one out of the purple one, but...
Yeah, people are saying that they went with the non-talking ones because, like, the zombies were in there.
That's what I'm saying. It was kind of like... Yeah. It was kind of like 28 Days Later.
Right.
You know, sort of. Or, like, a lot of other... That's the thing. I just kind of feel like they were... I don't know if I like the idea of them necessarily being... I don't think you should do it, again, like the Omega Man, where it was just... Where they were very, like, pretty much just people. But like with weird ideas.
You're saying Will Smith is a Scientologist? My understanding, Will Smith is a Scientologist.
I didn't think he was. I thought they yeah. were trying to get him in there, or but I don't know if he ever joined.
I thought his wife Jada was also a Scientologist. He was doing stuff for Cult of Scientology, but it's been years. Maybe he walked. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he ever like officially joined, but okay. I could totally be wrong about that.
Right.
He never comes up on lists of like, hey, celebrities okay. that are Scientologists, like Elizabeth okay. Moss and stuff.
All right.
Who's that other fucker that's a Scientologist? Giovanni Ribisi.
I thought he was a Scientologist.
Yeardley Smith and all
that. He did do some stuff for him and said some shit at one time, but shit, that was like 2005, I think. 2004, around that time, if I remember correctly. Scientology would court those people, you know?
Well, yeah, they wanted anybody that was super famous yeah, and had a lot of money.
Yeah, and it would kind of work out for a while or it wouldn't work out. There's been a lot of them that fucking went in and out of Scientology and nobody knows about it. But they were like in the initial contact phase, and they're like, nah, I ain't doing this.
You know? Tammy says, Will Smith is a Christian.
He's a Christian now? Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, I think he has been. Like I said, I don't think he was ever a Scientologist. Not that I ever heard of. I mean, maybe, like I said, maybe they were trying to get him in there, and maybe he's like, okay, fine, I'll show up at one of your events, but I don't really think that he ever... Right. I mean, as far as I know.
I gotta go back and check.
I never heard
of him. I gotta go back and check.
And I've never seen him come up on any lists.
I'm not sure he went up and did his OT levels or any of that.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think
I think he might have been public Scientologist for a while. In other words, I think he might have been buying some Scientology courses. Because fucking... Tom Cruise was involved in that, and fucking, John Travolta was in that, and a couple of other ones in there. Old fat girl. What's her name? Fucking...
Kirstie Alley.
Kirstie Alley. It was so funny. We had a guest on one time, Angry Gay Pope. He's a friend of mine on the fucking...
Yeah, it's Tammy said he was raised Baptist.
You raised Baptist? Okay. Fucking Angry Gay Pope, so he's constantly out there fucking trolling the Scientologists. We did a show on him, you guys can go back. I don't remember what episode it was. And we had him on as a guest. And he used to have a fucking funny-ass channel. And he would go to all the Scientology events. And there's one where Kirstie Alley's walking across the street. He yells at her. He's on camera. He goes, Kirstie, you pulled that ass in on yourself, Kirstie. You pulled that fat ass in on yourself. Because you see, Scientologists blame themselves for everything that they do based on their thoughts. And if you get fat, it's because you thought about it. And that's... You thought about it, and you weren't working Scientology properly, and you get a big fat ass because of that. And fucking Angry Gay Pope was reminding Kirstie Alley that it was her fucking up Scientology that gave her that big old fat ass.
Well, yeah, because they say if you're KSW, keeping Scientology working,
then you'll
be perfect.
Perfect,
meaning you won't need glasses, you'll have superpowers.
You won't ever age. You won't die.
Which.
Even though L. Ron Hubbard died. Okay.
No, he didn't. He just discarded his body.
They said he dropped his body.
He had to go do some important shit on some planet.
He went on to the next OT level to go do important OT work. He'll be back later.
They actually said that to a room of adults, like with a straight face, and everybody believed it. I was like, man, you guys are stupid as fuck. Anyway.
All his houses are ready for him. They take care of all his houses, and they're like ready for him to come back.
Grown-ass adults.
Yep.
Grown-ass adults. Oracle says, Jenny, glad to hear you enjoyed watching the first Food That Built America episode. Yes, we are enjoying that very much.
Yeah, we're actually done with the second one.
Yeah, we watched the second one last night. The second one, which is about Hershey and Mars and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really fun.
Yeah, Hershey was like the only nice guy out of all of them.
Yeah, he seemed like the only... I mean, unless some bad shit happens later on, he actually, like, everyone else is kind of a dick.
Yeah, well, being ruthless was like a virtue in the 1800s, being a ruthless businessman. They were fucking bad.
I mean, I guess out of the Kellogg brothers, because, like, Dr. Kellogg, and we did a show about him, about this, the sanitarium and all that kind of stuff, like the invention of cornflakes. Yeah. He was a big fucking dickhole. But his brother,
that guy's an asshole.
That guy was a big asshole.
The brother's all right though.
The brother seemed all right. Yeah. I mean, considering like how he got treated.
They went over factory towns, and you know Kellogg's. He wanted to have a good town out there. Or was that Hershey? That was Hershey.
Built the whole town.
He was the one.
He built Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and he wanted a real good town out there. People would be proud to work there. That type of stuff.
Yeah,
I thought Kellogg said that too. Isn't he the one he had it torn down? No, that was Hershey. He had some shit torn down.
Kellogg, they're like Will Kellogg, after he got rights to the name, the factory burned to the ground, and he had to rebuild it. That's what you're thinking of.
Yeah, it was Hershey the one.
Hershey built the whole town. Like I said, it's still there. Hershey built the name.
Yeah, but remember, he looked at the blueprints and goes, this looks cheap.
Yeah. He says, That was Hershey.
Yeah.
But, so we kind of wandered far afield. Yeah, we got to talk about Scientology. But
So it's a decent movie. It's a decent movie. I still like Omega Man the best out of them. I want to see Last Man on Earth again. But this is decent. It's
better than I remember.
Yeah, it's a lot better.
Like, I remembered watching it and being like, that was all right, and sucked.
Right.
When I rewatched it, I was like, well, that kind of sucks still, but the rest of it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't like the CGI.
Yeah. The rage zombie, I didn't.
Yeah, I don't love that, but there's like some shit about it I do like. I mean, I think that Will Smith is amazing in it. He's really, really good in it. I like the dog. I like the interactions with him and the dog. And I don't know. I like a couple of the changes that they made from the book. Like I said, that the, you know, mutants didn't know where he lived until later on in the movie. Like, I kind of like that kind of stuff. So I liked some of the changes that they made. It's not a great movie, But it's not a bad movie. It's decent. It's watchable. Yeah. I had a good time with it. So, yeah, it was a lot better than I remembered. I didn't remember it being terrible. I just remember it being like, that was all right kind of thing. I'm not super into, like, big blockbuster-type movies generally. The guy that directed this, I can't remember what his name was, but he's the same guy that did, like, I think he did, like, the Hunger Games movies and stuff like that. So he's kind of known for doing sort of, like, big blockbuster-type movies, which, like I said, I don't usually like those. Some of them are good. But it's not usually like the kind of thing. I'm more into like indie stuff or whatever. But
this film really could have been something if they'd had practical effects in it.
Practical effects and more like the book ending.
Yeah,
more I like think the book it, ending. It would have been a lot more memorable.
And no rage zombies. It should have been more like something out of the Omega Man, and that way you'd have a couple more characters in there that he could interact with, and that there could be like a real story between him and those things out there. That would have been a lot better.
Yeah, because it does kind of go more... Yeah, it does kind of go more like generic monster movie, yeah. Like zombie apocalypse kind of direction, and there have been a fucking zillion of those. Yeah. So I kind of feel like maybe... I know, you know, we can say this now, like back in 2007, it made like a fuck ton of money. So obviously people liked it, but I think it would have been remembered a lot more fondly... If they had gone like a slightly like different direction,
I mean, because of the lore, they basically had permission to borrow from all those other movies if they wanted to. You could have done a mishmash of all the best of all those movies and made a real fucking super version of I Am Legend, and it could have been like Omega Man, but maybe a little bit more like the book, or a little bit like I Am Last Man on Earth, mixed with kind of Will's take on it. And I think he should have been more paramilitary and more of a darker figure, more of a in a way more of a villain to the mutants. And the mutants could have been maybe a little bit more like vampires,
like they were in the book,
like they were in the book, a little bit more like a vampire, but also kind of having aspects of a cult, kind of like an Omega Man, where they wouldn't use technology. That way you could balance it out, or why they couldn't just easily blow him out of the fucking... Because he's in a house. He's in a stone house. Fucking 105 howitzer would fucking just blow that thing up like it wasn't even there. You know, one shot. Collapse that whole thing. So there had to have been a reason why these vampires wouldn't just do like what Zachary says in Omega Man, let's go get us a cannon and blow him out.
Yeah, just go blow him out.
There has to be a reason why they don't do that, and I think Omega Man handled that well. You could have had a really good synthesis of them all, and then practical effects and practical stunts, this bitch had been a classic. It'd been remembered today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, people still remember it, but I think they remember it mostly because, like, that was a pretty good movie with a shitty ending.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not a real good ending.
Yeah. Oscar Perez says, Dawn of the Dead from 2004 is far better. I agree. And the thing about it is that, and I'm not usually like a big fan of, hey, if you're going to remake a horror movie, why don't you remake a crappy one instead of remaking a good one? But Dawn of the Dead from 2004, remake of the George Romero movie, is actually pretty fucking good. One of the few remakes that came out around that time of a good movie that was actually, I don't think it's better than the original, but it's still pretty, it's a pretty fucking good movie in its own right. And I saw that in the theater and I was like, wow, I was like blown away. Because I was thinking it was just going to be like some lame ass, oh God, they're remaking more shit again. But I was like, hey, that was pretty fucking awesome. But yeah, I agree that is a much better movie.
Who should have written and directed this movie? We should have been probably Rob Zombie. Rob Zombie loves the Omega Man and loves fucking Last Man on Earth.
But see, then it would have been a genre film. And they wouldn't have made $600 million on it.
I don't know. He did good with fucking House of a Thousand Corpses.
That's true.
And then you have
him. Yeah, I would have liked to see that. I'm just saying that from a movie executive point of view, they're like, they want to make $600 million on this bitch.
Have him retell fucking Last Man on Earth, and you know, or have him retell I Am Legend, and you could put Will Smith in it as Neville, and I think Rob Zombie, I think, understood that story, all those books and those stories better than the public, and he could have fucking sold that shit.
Well, somebody that's into horror,
right? Because that's what it is. It's a horror movie.
It's a horror novel. You should get somebody that knows about horror and that knows about that book,
and somebody who loves that story and all the movies that came from that story. And he, Rob Zombie, could have fucking made a real good one if he'd had the money. and the permission to do it.
Yeah, sometimes when you say, oh, like, Rob Zombie should have made that, I'm like, no, he shouldn't have. But that might actually be a good idea. I think that would probably come out pretty good.
I think he understood the tone.
Yeah.
I don't think he understood fucking...
And making it a horror movie, you could make it bleak. You could make it just like the book is, and no one would bitch.
Right. And then you could have your action sequences, and you could have the best of the stuff where they're vampires, basically. Mutant vampire people. They're in a cult. They're fucking, they're after him. They're kind of paramilitary also at certain times. And then you, and fucking Neville is a killing machine. And he's a scientist too. And then you can have all that shit happening at once in an intense horror action adventure. And I think Rob Zombie understood that well. And, you know, not so much, with a lot of the tone of House of a Thousand Corpses and fucking some of his other horror, some scenes like that. Okay, but not as goofy. There's almost some goofy shit in that. I don't think he understood Halloween, from what I heard. Didn't he do a Halloween and people were like, what the fuck?
What the fuck? Yeah, I saw the Rob Zombie Halloween remake in the theater, and I didn't walk out, but that was one of the first movies that I was like, I don't even think I want to like watch the rest of this. This is fucking terrible. Well, and like I said, and I brought this up before, don't over explain your monster. Right. God fucking damn it. I don't want to know about Michael Myers as an abused little child.
Right.
It's not scary.
Too much explanation.
Yeah.
Rob Zombie just would have had a bunch of fighting in it and a bunch of car wrecks and trying to kill these things, and the focus, I think, would have been better. I think he would have done a lot better job. But like I said, maybe he couldn't do it on his own. Maybe, you know, a couple, Rob Zombie and a couple guys helping him and a bunch of money. I think it would have been good.
Danny Rowling says, Chud and Chud 2 Bud the Chud review would be sick. Yeah. I've been wanting to do that for a while. I think I put Chud in the polls a few times, but it never wins. Yeah. I don't think, have you ever seen Chud or Chud 2 Bud the Chud?
Yeah.
Those were a couple that I always used to watch on cable.
Oscar also, a terrible fucking director. No, he's not. He's good.
Depends on the material.
He's good at certain things.
Depends on the material.
Yeah, and he mentions these movies a lot in music. And he understands all these stories and these movies real well. I think he'd have done a real good. He loves this.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I hated his Halloween remake, you know, I will give him one thing. He is super fucking into horror. He loves horror shit. And so, you know, but he has a particular aesthetic.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever it is, it's like a particular thing he's good at. But like some other things, I think he should probably like keep far away from.
Yeah.
Danny Rowling also says, also the 1991 TV movie called The Haunted, based on the Smurl haunting, would be sick to see also. It's free on YouTube. Like a review of that. I think I've seen that. I remember that being kind of good. I might have watched it when I was writing about the Smurl haunting. I'll have to write that down because, yeah, I might actually do that because I remember that being like a pretty good
movie.
Some
of the best movies out there were not created by one director, okay? Even the fucking old school Star Wars, those first three movies, that was more like a group thing, all right? Lucas really... The best one was fucking Empire Strikes Back, and Lucas had the least amount to do with that one. but it was like two or three guys working together to kind of get that shit to shape up and to edit it right. And movies, sometimes if it's like a couple guys working on it and they have the money and the time, they can come up with something better than just one dude. Because one man's limited. Even pretty much everybody has to have somebody around to tell them no when they're doing projects like that. They'll go down some fucking path that'll all get fucked up. But that one Rob Zombie movie, House of a Thousand Corpses, what was the other one that he did? There was like three of them that were all kind of, they all had their fucking Captain Spaulding and shit. What was the name of it? What was the name of it, Jenny?
What, House of a Thousand Corpses?
Yeah, and that was the other one. There was like a sequel to it. Or
Devil's Rejects?
Devil's Rejects, those two. I thought they were great. Now, there was a third one that he did. It was okay. It wasn't as good as the other two. But I thought those two, and that was kind of like his own little fucking series that he made, and I thought he did a great job of it. It was creepy shit.
Yeah.
So I think he could handle, I think he'd be good to, maybe not direct it, but advise on it at least.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, at least get...
To help write the fucking story.
It just seems like I wish that they would kind of get a good balance of, because even though The Last Man on Earth, the Vincent Price version, was a horror movie, it was super, super low budget. It was AIP, like American International Pictures, who were known for just doing like cheap knockoff shit. So I kind of wish that this was given like a decent budget, but also made like a horror movie.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to make it like a crowd pleasing action movie. You know what I mean?
But these two movies in the book were like one of Rob Zombie's favorite shit. I'd have put him involved in it somewhere because he knows it real well.
Jenny, have you ever done Constantine review? Oh, ask him because this movie was directed by the same guy that did Constantine. We haven't. I've seen it. I remember it being really good. Keanu Reeves is in that,
I think,
right?
I have it.
Do you have Constantine?
I think I have it.
You should look. Maybe we should maybe we should do that one of these days. I remember it being good, although it's been a long time since I've seen it. Let's see. I saw, Stradog78 said John Carpenter could have pulled it off in 2007. He had just done Cigarette Burns. Oh yeah, that's like a good, that's a good point. Cigarette Burns was easily my favorite episode of Masters of Horror, with a young Norman Reedus, matter of fact. And it was about like a cursed movie, and I love shit about cursed movies. I don't know why, but like Antrim and all that kind of stuff. I love that kind of shit. But yeah, so yeah, maybe. I mean, that might have been cool. John Carpenter directing I Am Legend.
Yeah.
That, yeah, I think maybe that could have worked, actually.
Maybe, yeah.
Anybody who's more into doing, or maybe, I don't know, maybe Frank Darabont?
Yeah.
Maybe. Could have done it.
You're talking about Sherry Moon. She's hot, but she's a bad actress. I don't think she is an actress, is she? She acts a little bit.
No, she's just a professional hot girl. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think she's an actress.
I mean, she's an actress in the sense that people point a camera at her and pay her for it.
Yeah, that's what I think, yeah.
But, yeah, she just kind of...
Yeah, I don't think she's an actress.
She does kind of play the same character in every single
movie,
which I'm assuming is just her.
Yeah.
Like, I'm assuming that's just what she's like.
That's what I took it as.
Yeah.
I don't think she's an actress. He just puts her in the movie.
Yeah.
Which that happens a lot. That's a lot of those Hollywood movies are like that, especially low budget fucking grindhouse shit like he likes. Yeah, put her in it. Yeah, 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 that'll work.
Yeah, whatever.
They're not actresses. It's just some hot chick they put in there. That's all it is.
Well, yeah, because they figure no one's going to care all that much.
No.
If she's... Now, if they're ugly, they have to be a good actor.
Yeah, in that kind of movie, yeah.
Yeah. But if you're hot, it doesn't matter. You can get away with it.
A lot of those hotties...
They're just going to look at you. We're not listening to what you say anyways.
A lot of those hotties in those fucking grindhouse flicks were fucking hookers and hookers and strippers. That's what they were in their real life. Especially in the 60s, 70s.
Danny Rowling says, after this, I'm going to check out the Frank Langella Dracula film. Never saw it. Look, go into it. I always really liked it. Go into it. It's more like... I don't even know if I'd call it a horror movie. It's kind of a horror movie, but it's kind of like more like a dark gothic romance, sort of. So I guess in that way, it's kind of more like the Francis Ford Coppola one in a little bit. Yeah. Zach says, I'd love to see y'all do Chinatown at some point. Yeah, we probably should. Kanavasan said Constantine is very good. Yeah, I remember liking it. It's just like been such a long time since I've seen it. So, all right. Are we ready to wrap it up?
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to watch tonight, so I don't know what we're going to talk about tomorrow. We could do Godfather 2. We could do that Smurl movie that we're talking about. We could look and see if we have Constantine. If you have it, maybe we could do that. I don't know. But I don't have any idea like what we're going to come up with. But we'll come up with something. So hopefully you guys will drop by tomorrow and see what we come up with. So thanks for dropping by today, and have a good rest of your evening. And we will see you guys again talking about another movie tomorrow. Bye.